Mr. Geoffrey Haywood, Rio 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Haywood?
I was born on the 1st of March 1922 at Bankfoot Terrace, Stanley, near Bradford.
And could you tell me a bit about your family background?
My father was an engineer. His ultimate job was at Horlicks Malted Milk Factory at Slough. He was chief engineer there and was acquainted quite intimately with the Horlick family. He studied at Leeds University, but not in the modern sense. He must have had evening classes or something akin to that in those days. Mother became a school teacher in Bradford, but not for long, because she met my father and married, probably, well, I can't remember the date, it must have been about 1916, because my elder brother was born in 1917. At Coventry, where father was then in the ordnance works, Royal Ordnance Works, mostly on naval guns, I think, at that time. I don't think there's much more to add unless you wish to add in.
Did you have a happy childhood? You presumably you were living in Bradford, in the Bradford area.
That's a strange thing. Although I was born in Stanley, I think what happened was that it followed the usual pattern with families, that mother went back to Yorkshire from London, where they were living at the time, to have the baby. And the same thing happened with my older sister, who was born in 1919. So she went back to Yorkshire to have the baby because father wouldn't be able to get away from his job. He was with Baker Perkins at the time in Harlesden, I think. And it was from there that we moved to Slough when father got his job with Horlicks Malted Milk. So I was only just a Yorkshireman because probably when I was old enough, three or four weeks perhaps, mother moved back to London. But I don't remember anything about London because I was much too young. I just remember the early days at Slough as a child, and have quite good memories of those days. Very pleasant memories, I must say.
Was it a comfortable childhood? Was your father was in steady employment?
He was in steady employment. I think he was almost excused the Geddes Axe treatment. I think Horlicks Malted Milk didn't punish him severely with this nationwide drop in income. I forgot what it was all about, but it was almost like a change in the currency, in effect, you know, decimal and so on, devaluing currency in that fashion by reducing wages or upgrading it. I don't know what the expression is. However, he didn't suffer too much as a result of that. So possibly I would have had a comfortable childhood if there hadn't been more in the family.
How many were there in the end?
Well, by 1933, when my younger brother was born, there were five of us then, five children. And at that point, we had to move out of this semi-detached house in Slough to a farmhouse built in 1870 in a village called Sippenham, just outside Slough, spot of the sea, Sippenham.
Now, what about your education? What do you recall?
Education, I started off at a school called Tonman Moseley in Slough. Didn't get on very well there. Didn't about it for some reason. I think the disciplinary methods there were a little bit strange, like slapping you on the leg, for instance, and funny things to a child. But anyway, I moved to a school called Thomas Gray, a bit nearer home, where my older brother was. And although it was a little bit more on the rough side, I got on quite well there. And the headmaster there was a good disciplinarian, but he was a human being, in the sense that he rewarded children when they'd done good work. And I quite often remember being called into his study and given an old penny for my work. His name was Hill, L.A. Hill. And he's probably long since dead, but he insisted on this morning assembly with its religious background, and I can still see him up on the platform, his head shaking from side to side to the tunes that were being played. And altogether, it was a good school, good primary school. And from there, I went to Slough Secondary School, which was mixed at the time, but split up shortly after I joined it. I must have gone there when I was about 10 years old, because I had 6 years at the grammar school. Well, it was the secondary school to start with, and then it split up and became Slough Grammar School and Slough High School for Girls. And they moved to different areas, and I think the old secondary school became a technical school then. But I always look back with admiration to the type of education I had, because although I didn't perhaps think of it much at the time, we had a good grounding in just about everything.
Any subjects you particularly excelled at or enjoyed? Or hated?
I think I liked English best. I didn't like history at the time, although I enjoy it now. But English, I liked English because of the sort of polish it put on you. I got on all right with mathematics, but I wasn't over the moon about it. Geography, I suppose, interested me a bit. But the sad story of Slough Grammar School, I don't know whether, no, it wouldn't come out in there, because that starts with the Home Guard. But at Slough Grammar School, when I arrived at the secondary school, I was top of the class for two terms running, and then had to succeed to Fred Hall, my classmate, who became top in my place third term and left me in second place. But the sad story about it was that over the years from then, I must have got in bad company, because I drifted right down until one term I became bottom of the class. And this was not long before we had to go in for school certificate. I was terrified at what my parents would say when I brought the report home. But much to my surprise, they took it on the chin and said they booked that evening to take me along to Windsor Theatre to see a play, a comedy. And I felt such a heel at the time that I'd been reading these comics under the desk and all sorts of mucking about in school and not paying attention, and it was all my own fault. But anyway, I pulled my socks up after that and realised I hadn't much time to go, and played ball. And I even used to take my bicycle with my friend Fred Hall up into the woods at Burnham Beaches, and used to sit up in the trees and study there in the summertime, because we couldn't bear to be cooped up in a house. And it was amazing. And he used to question me, and we used to fire questions at each other. But anyway, I didn't know then that I wasn't going to be entered for the school certificate. It was only at the last minute that the headmaster called me in and said, we've got one or two vacant places still to fill, and we decided we'll give you a try on your earlier record, not your immediate past record. And so I went in for it, and one of the subjects I didn't like very much, chemistry, because I fall and foul of one of the masters there, we didn't get on very well together. I realised it was a waste of time studying chemistry, so I didn't study it, but I concentrated on the other seven subjects. And of course the chemistry master said, you will never get through, not his subject particularly, but the whole thing. But anyway, at the end of it all, I got 7 credits out of the 8, and they'd given me matriculation exemption. And my parents were highly delighted, you see, so... I felt, you know, that I exonerated myself. But to go back to what I was saying, it was really a wonderful schooling, and in spite of my earlier period of mucking about, I felt that I'd still learnt an awful lot.
What about sport? Were you interested in sport?
Mildly interested in cricket, although I was never very good at it. Football I didn't like very much because, being rather small, and that I used to seem to get kicked around as much as the ball. And I found it also at times very cold and bleak, running around on the field in shorts. The school playing fields were in a very exposed situation, and when any cold winds were blowing, you really got it. But I suppose cycling was my main interest. I really enjoyed cycling, and I think if I'd ever had the chance, I would have, you know, gone in for it.
Were you a member of a cycling club or anything like that?
No, I never joined a cycling club. We found a lot of the cycling clubs were more interested in knocking up the miles rather than seeing the countryside and learning a bit about. And so I had my school friends that used to go off in twos and threes, and one of our objects was to see from Slough area how many counties we could visit in a day and back, you see, around to explore a different county. Even just going over the border was enough, just coming back. So that worked very well. We got to quite distant places. But one of my memorable trips was when I moved up to Bradford, and my wife was having her first child in Belgium, I left.
I'll come back, because that's a little bit ahead. Cycling was your main thing. Were you in any of the boys' clubs of the time? I'm thinking of the Boy Scouts, Boys Brigade, anything like that?
Or? Yes, I was in the Boys Brigade, and there was another youth group formed. I think that was before I joined the Boys Brigade. I was in what they called the Young Empire Builders, YEB.
What was that about? I've not heard of
that.
Well,
it was, I think I've still got it somewhere. We had the League of Nations badge. We wore a badge, the League of Nations. And at one stage, we all went up in a party to the Guildhall in London and had a magnificent tea sort of meal there with a piece of cake to take home afterwards in a little cardboard box. And that was all about the League of Nations, the early days of the League of Nations.
And who organised it? I mean, was it an organ?
It was church sponsored.
Which church?
This was St Paul's Slough.
Is that Church of England?
Church of England, yes.
And what sort of activities did they do, other than this tea party?
I can't remember that. In the YEB, Young Empire Builders, we did much other than have little talks. We were given little talks because we were only very young. And we sort of played games like a lot of them do in the church hall. And that's about all I can remember of it. But it didn't seem to last long.
About what year? How old would you be around about?
It was certainly while we were still in Slough. We moved to Sippenham in 1935. So I would be 13 then. I would say, at a guess, it was before I was 10 years old, which would be about early 30s, 1930 up to 32 perhaps. And then after that in the Boys' Brigade.
Now what did you do with the Boys' Brigade? What activities?
Well, we had a lot of drilling. We did a lot of drilling, but we also went on camps in the summer.
But take the drill. So what sort of drill was it? How military was it?
Oh, it was the old style infantry drilling of forming fours. We did that. And, marching around.
Did you have wooden guns or anything?
We had
wooden guns or anything, or anything?
No, we had a uniform of a sort.
What was that?
Well, it was a leather belt with the badge on it, on the buckle. And we had a sort of a white haversack going diagonally across with a tiny little pouch, all in white. White sort of canvas, and we started off with a forage cap, but later on we went to a pillbox type hat, and we went to these camps.
So you'd go once a week, presumably.
Once a week.
And drill. Would you do anything else on a drill night, as you might call it?
Oh yes, we would have little classes where we would be studying to get these various badges.
What
you could qualify for, say, a wayfarer's badge.
What would that be?
It's all about going out into the countryside and learning about flowers and trees. And
so not dissimilar from Boy Scouts badges?
Very, very similar, yes, very similar, yes. It was a sort of an alternative organisation, I suppose.
Was there a heavy emphasis on religion? I mean, would you have religious classes on the drill night?
There was quite a heavy emphasis on religion, yes. Yes, we had our own, I've still got it somewhere, I think our own hymn book and prayer book. Yes, there was quite a strong emphasis on that. We'd always start off with a prayer, and we might even have a hymn. Yes, there'd be some of these rousy ones, you know, like onward Christian soldiers.
Were you required to attend church? Once a week or three times, you know, a certain number of times.
Yes. Firstly, I suppose that started off very young in the Sunday school. Sunday school days there was almost like weekday school. The Sunday school was absolutely bulging with children. Almost every family sent their children to Sunday school. And once a month, you'd all march up in crocodile fashion up the main road to the church, which was about half a mile away, I suppose, from the mission hall. And
I led you a bit wrong. The Boys' Brigade, did they require to be a member of the Boys' Brigade?
Yes.
Did you have to attend church?
Yes. Later on, they did the same. They would join in with the Sunday school, and they'd all march up, and probably would lead the Sunday school up with their band. You see,
were you in the band?
No, I often fancied having a go. I could play the bugle because I grabbed the bugle once and managed to get a tune out of it, just like the boys played. So I got the notes right, but I never actually became part of the band. There was always a keen crowd, and they were always full up.
Now, what about the camping activities you mentioned?
Camping, yes, we had a session on the Isle of Wight near Freshwater. 1 year, and we also went to Weymouth, up on the Downs, somewhere near Preston, I think it was, up on there, and we used to make these Boys' Brigade badges on the hillsides, these chalky things like the Giant of Sir Nevis and so on, make a badge, cut it out of the chalk, and hope that it would stay there for a long time, and of course it disappeared eventually.
And what else were you doing on the camp? Were they teaching you anything?
Yes, we'd still go through the drilling, and we'd have these things. Oh yes, that's another point about training for the army. So you'd have these kit inspections where you had to leave everything out in apple pie order, your blankets folded up, good training. And then we'd go off on route marches. And in fact, when we got off the boat at Yarmouth, the other way, we marched to the camp with the band leading us. I couldn't say how far that was, but we marched. I remember it being very hot in those days. Very tiring, but we did. We marched there. And Yes, the camp, I suppose, was very like army camps, the sort of under canvas camps of army days. So that was another point that I learned all about that.
Now, any other... You weren't in the Boy Scouts then?
No, I think I... There must have been an interim stage, perhaps this way the business folded up, perhaps it didn't succeed very well. And then I think I was in the Cubs very briefly, but never actually in the Scouts. Then the Boys Brigade was formed, but there were quite a number of Boys Brigades in Slough. I think we were the fourth Slough, but it graduated eventually to a fifth Slough, I think.
And cycling, Boys Brigade, any other main hobbies or interests at that age?
I didn't mind doing a bit of gardening, helping the family, because at Sydenham, father had quite a big garden. But although he lived in the farmhouse, he wasn't the farmer, of course, he still worked at Horlicks, and it was about 3 miles then to his job. But cycling, of course, I used to like rambling, going rambles around the area. But one of the things, strangely enough, I suppose I might have been equipping myself for the infantry, but I used to like digging pits, which seems rather strange. But the thing about that area, Thames Valley, was that when you dug through the top couple of feet of soil and clay, you came to this beautiful gravel, and I was fascinated by these layers of different coloured sands. As you dug down, I used to get down to about 6 or 7 feet. We used to rig up an old motorcycle wheel on the top to haul up the buckets. And Dad used to use all the sand and gravel on the garden paths around, so it served a purpose. But these strata of gravel, sand, they fascinated me. And of course, eventually I had to give up because water started coming in about 7 feet down from the river. And in fact, the cellars of that house got flooded in winter. As the Thames rose, the water flowed through the gravel underneath and flooded anything up to a certain height, according to the state of the river.
Any interest in engines, motor mechanics? Because that's what you... that we'll come to, obviously, but yes. As a child, were you interested in engines and being a mechanic or fitting or fitters?
I was fascinated by steam engines and used to enjoy every time one of these old-fashioned steam fairs came to Slough. I used to go along with my older brother and hang around, fascinated by the way they put these roundabouts up and connected up the steam engines for the power. And marvellous sight, absolutely. And also I like to mess around with old cars. I mean, for instance, the neighbour lived in a bungalow, once gave us, before we were old enough to drive, he gave us an old Talbot car, which he said it was finished with. He said it was something wrong with it, he said, but it turned out that what had happened, he'd left water in it over the winter and it had cracked the block on the engine. But anyway, we didn't know that, and so my friend and I drove it around Dad's tennis lawn, you see, at Sutherland, and until we found steam rising from it and realised there was something wrong. And eventually, my father and elder brother took it to pieces and used the wheels for trailers and things like that, and parts of it for other purposes. I have this interest because father being an engineer, there was always something going on in that line. He was a bit of an inventor. He once made a pea shelling machine out of old bicycle chains and things, cranks and things. And he also tried to patent an electric waffle making machine, but the chap that was in with him ran off with a patent to America, I think, and that was the end of that. But
So you had an interest in it, really?
I had an interest, yes. I was very, very keen on pedal cycles. I maintained my own bicycles. Nothing was too much trouble. And also, gradually, when my insurance company evacuated out of London, the war.
I'll better come back to that. Yeah. So, now, what you'd passed your certificate, that's dropping back to your education. What did you plan to do then? I mean, was there any question of going on to any further education? What were you going to do?
Well, obviously, with matriculation exemption, I could probably have gone on to university. But the trouble was, in those days, finance. My parents couldn't have coped with, you know, the problems associated with having somebody at university. And so I don't think I even entertained the idea. I think my natural instinct, as one of my school friends from the earlier times had already left school at the age of 15 and started work and had more money in his pocket than me, I was keen to start work myself. So at 16, just turned 16 at Easter 1938, I took whatever was going, and the headmaster said, well, I'm trying to find jobs for everybody. The jobs are not easy to get. But he said, I've got one lined up for you in Burley Corset Factory on the main road at Slough. He said, you'll be working in the stock room. And,
as a clerk or as a...
As a warehouse assistant. And he said, if you... You know, if you stick it, he said, there's a chance, as it's an Australian firm, you might find yourself out in Australia one day, you see. I don't think I was very keen on the idea of going to Australia then, but anyway, he said it as a sort of perk. But I didn't take it in that way. I just wanted a job, and the fact was, that place, their factory, was only about a mile or so from home, and I could cycle home to lunch. I had 15 shillings a week, 75 pence in modern terms, in my pocket each week, and helped a little bit, I suppose, with the household finances. But that was only an interim thing, because Father, being in the amateur musical world, he'd met somebody from an insurance company, the Friends Provident, who said, why don't you put his name down on the waiting list for a job with us. And he did that. So in June 1938, having been with this factory only 3 months, I found myself buying a season ticket and going up to London to work in Leadenhall Street with the Friends Provident. I was with their subsidiary company, the Century Insurance Company.
And what was your actual job? Were you a clerk?
I was clerk in the accident department in head office, and we started off as a junior, you know, putting the stamps on the letters and fetching the buns in the afternoon from Joe Ryan's tea shops for the afternoon break, doing all sorts of menial jobs, taking the manager's climbing boots to be repaired and so on. And also delivering mail to local big firms to save postage. They were very keen on, you know, detail in those days, saving whatever they could. And then from there I graduated to assistant filing clerk. I was just putting files away and getting them out all day long. And then eventually senior filing clerk. But I think by the time it got to that stage, I was heading for being evacuated out of London to Harpenden in Hertfordshire.
And was that after the war had broken out?
That was a few days before the war. It was probably about the 1st of September 1939 when they actually took off.